Scripture reading this morning is from 1 John 2, verses 12 through 17. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Over the past couple of months, on and off, we've been looking at the 19 questions the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, asked ministerial candidates. And these are the same questions that candidates are asked today. As I've mentioned before, I answered these questions when I went through ordination. And today we're going to look at question number 14 of the 19, which is this. Will you diligently instruct the children in every place? Will you diligently instruct the children in every place? Now that question itself needs to be looked at. Will you diligently instruct the children? In what? What are they to be instructed in? In the basics of the faith, in the way of the Lord, in what they need to know to be effective Christians. And we're to be diligent, we're to be intentional about it, church. And notice the question does not say that we will instruct the children in the church or school. No, it says we are to diligently instruct the children in every place. In every place. In other words, we're to intentionally help each other grow up. I hope you had a sense this morning as you saw these, I call them kids, up here, and you see that they have grown up and the plans that they have for the future. I hope you had a sense of ownership, if you will, in those kids, that you had a hand in helping them grow. The main analogy that the Lord uses to explain the church, the main example that the church is equated to, is family. Families don't get together once a week just to say they got together. To say they sat in the same room. No, families gather to do life together, to help each other, to make memories, which brings us to our scripture today. When John wrote his book, the book of 1 John, he's an old man. Perhaps by this time, most probably he is the only living apostle. He is considered the elder statesman of the church. And I just can't describe to you how revered he was. He's the only one of the original 12 that's left. This is about, 50, 60 years after Christ ascended to heaven. And he is considered to be the father, if you will, the elder statesman, as I said, of the church. And everyone loves him. And he loves the church. And he doesn't just love a church in a particular location, but he loves the whole church. And because he is so revered, his words carry so much weight. And this letter is not written to one particular church, but to the church as a whole. And it's all about understanding who Christ is, and it's all about being secure in Christ and growing up in Christ. Because in that culture, if they didn't grow up in Christ, they were not going to last. So I want to look at what John writes to the church, because it has much to say to us as a church. It has much to say to our graduates. It just seems like an appropriate theme for today. John addresses three different groups in this passage. He addresses children, he addresses young men, and he addresses fathers. And Bible scholars believe, and I do as well, that these are not just three different groups of people in the church, but they represent three different stages of Christian maturity that are found in every church. In verse 12, John addresses those who he calls dear children, those whose sins have been forgiven on account of his name. He's talking to new Christians here. He's talking to new Christians, those who have been recently had a new birth experience. Babies are so precious. Babies are so precious. Almost everyone enjoys just looking at babies. And part of the charm of babies is that they're not grown yet. They have a lot of needs, and you don't expect them to do a lot. Their faculties are not mature, and they haven't figured out everything yet. About all they know is their mom and dad, and that they can turn to them to meet their needs. It is at this stage, childhood stage in the faith, that these children need what the Bible calls the sincere milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. You know when a baby's hungry. That baby is going to let you know that it's hungry. Folks, we, newer Christians, we are to cry out for the nourishment that comes from the sincere milk of the Word of God. Milk is just basic nourishment. There's not a lot of bells and whistles to milk. It's just nourishing. And Peter is referring to the basics of the faith, the teaching about sin and grace, about the work of Jesus, about who the Father is and who the Son is and who the Holy Spirit is and what He has done for us. That's what spiritual children need the most. And that's what helps them grow the quickest. If you want to help this group grow the quickest, they must have instruction in those basic tenets of the faith, because that's the foundation for further growth. If they don't get that, they're not going to grow and go on any further. Now, in terms of the church, the role of the church is to nurture them, to help them grow. 1 Timothy 3:6 says that new Christians or recent converts should not be put in leadership, or else they might become conceited. New Christians should not be put into leadership, or they're going to have a tendency to think they've got it all figured out. They're going to think, man, I've only been a Christian for 3 months, and here I am teaching Sunday school, or here I am leading this group or that group. No. Christians, new Christians need some seasoning. So they need time and experience. They need to pass through some trials, because trials passed through in the right way lead to spiritual maturity. Oh, I hate to tell you this, but if you want to grow beyond the childhood stage of Christian maturity, you must pass through trials. That's the road that you have to go through to get to maturity. New Christians are not yet fully equipped for leadership. I think of Paul, or of Saul, who became Paul. After his conversion on the road to Damascus and some early witnessing for the Lord, what did God direct Paul to do? He sent him out into the desert for 3 years, just by himself, so that he could be instructed by the Lord, so that the Lord could teach him and mature him before he went into ministry. When I refer to new Christians, I am not referring to an age group. When I referred to new Christians or babies in Christ, you probably thought, okay, you're talking about kids or teenagers, somebody like that. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You can be 15 or 50 or 90 and be in this group. It depends on when you've accepted Christ. Oh, but folks, here's the key. Here's the key that's often lost sight of. This stage of growth, this seat, if you will, that's represented by this chair here, it is not meant to be a permanent seat. It's not meant to be permanent. This is meant to be a temporary seat for new Christians to be established in the faith and to grow and to go on in maturity. The saddest thing I see as a pastor, and I am being absolutely honest with it, the saddest thing I see as a pastor is somebody who is sitting in this seat, and whether they be, whatever age they may be, and they've accepted Christ 20 years ago, and they're still in the baby stage of Christian maturity. That should never be. This is meant to be a transitory chair, a transitory stage. We are not meant to occupy this stage for the rest of our lives. We're not. And I see Christians, I've seen it throughout my ministry, Christians, and the last real powerful experience they had with the Lord was when they were saved. And that is not the way it is supposed to be. That chair, folks, is not like a college professor's tenured seat where they get tenure and then they can just occupy that chair for the rest of their lives. No, no, no. That chair is a very important chair. That stage of development is very, very important. But as I said, it's meant to be temporary. Now, we should never see a person who has accepted Christ at 15 still in that chair when they're 25 or 30, because that means arrested development, and that means lessons that are not yet learned. That could mean a lot of things. It could mean a lack of spiritual mentoring. Church, as much as depends on us, we should strive to make sure that that never happens. Church, we should always be available for these new Christians to help them go on to maturity. As I said, that seat, this seat, is not meant to be a permanent one. And if you honestly, and take a good honest look at yourself, if you think, that's the position I am in, that's the stage I am in, let me assure you, without any doubts, God wants to move you from this place. God wants to move you from this place and go on to greater maturity. So that stage is wonderful, though it's meant to be temporary. John calls them dear children. Oh, he's trying to encourage the whole church. He's trying to help the church understand how much he loves them and how much God loves them. And so this is not a rebuke at all. He is saying, we got some dear children in our church, some new Christians, and that is meant to be an encouragement to them. We have some wonderful children here in the Lord, and that those children span a wide age range. It is wonderful to see their enthusiasm, their growth, and their desire to grow. That attitude needs to be kept, and we need to keep the Lord at the forefront of our thoughts and desires. Growth at this stage depends on how you react and face the things that God allows to come your way. The circumstances and trials, will you face them either trusting God or turning away from God? That, along with the intake and obedience to the Word of God, the milk, will determine how long you stay at this stage. Mature Christians, I want to be careful here, but I'm going to say what's on my heart and what I believe the Bible teaches. Mature Christians are not complainers. Mature Christians are not complainers. They don't say, oh, why, woe is me. God has given me so much. No, they don't do that. Children sometimes do, but mature Christians do not. Things are going to happen in our lives. Trials are going to come. And again, it is how we react to those situations and circumstances that is going to determine how and the rate at which we grow. So, John calls those folks dear children, those who know that their sins have been forgiven through Jesus. If you are a recent convert to Christ, you know your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. God bless you. That is a foundational truth that you need to hold on to, and it'll help you grow. The second group mentioned by John is the fathers. The fathers. I am writing to you, fathers, he says, because you know him who is from the beginning. John is referring here to mature believers. They know Christ. Not know about him, but they know him. They've been through some stuff. They've passed through the fires. And they know from experience that the Lord is faithful. This is the stage that the Lord wants to bring us all to. This is not a stage where the problems of life are behind you. There is no such stage. But there is a stage where the fruit of the Spirit is fully grown. And so in spite of what's going on in their lives, the peace and the joy of the Lord are evident. This is the stage. This is the chair where the reflection of the Lord in our lives becomes clearer on a consistent basis, and it's easy for others to see. This is the stage where you think to yourself, man, look at Bob. I know he's had a hard time recently. I know some of the stuff that Bob has gone through. But man, he's here in church. He's smiling. You can just see the peace of the Lord in his countenance. That is evidence of a mature Christian. If you would ask such a person how they've reached that state of maturity, they'd probably tell you they're not mature. They've got a long way to go. And any progress they've made is due solely to the grace of the Lord. Because one of the hallmarks of Christian maturity is an understanding of our own weakness. And it's always pointing to Christ when praise is given to them. Unlike the two other seats, this seat is meant to be permanent. Permanent in the sense of longevity until we go to be with Christ. The church is blessed with the number of fathers and mothers in the faith. You are such important examples and witnesses to us all. When I am back there in the narthex on Sunday morning saying hello to people as they come in, and when you Christian fathers and mothers come in, you might not even say a word to me, but let me tell you what, you lift my spirits. You lift my spirits as I see the peace and the joy of the Lord in you. You can do good and you represent your Lord sometimes without even saying a word. And again, we're not talking about chronological age here. No, a person can be a father or a mother in the faith at a relatively young age. This chair is not about physical age. It's about spiritual maturity. So you might have some younger folks in that chair as well as some older folks. And you might have some older folks in this chair. It just depends on your spiritual maturity. The third stage, the third chair mentioned, is according to John, the young men. The young men. And John says to them, you've overcome the evil one. These are the ones that have accepted Christ. They've escaped from Satan. They've been delivered from his kingdom. They're making progress in their walk with the Lord. They're on the front lines. They may very well be in the fire right now, but they're learning that the Lord is faithful. They've made the conscious decision to trust the Lord in the midst of difficulties, not turn away from him. And they are learning the value. Oh, listen to me. This is a hard truth. But they are learning the value of trials, that they can be a tool, the means of going on to maturity. And again, this is not an age measurement. Any age can fit in here. But the key is actively seeking the Lord, learning to trust in him in difficulties, and learning more, experiencing more about his faithfulness. And in verse 14, John addresses the same groups, but he adds a couple of things to the dear children and to the young men. He says the same thing about the dear children as he did about the fathers. He says to these new in faith, he says, you know the Father. He is trying to encourage the young in the faith that they've already had an experience with the Father. They've already accepted Christ. They know God loves them. Hang on to that. Oh, at times in my walk, at times in my in my younger days, in my earlier days of Christianity, and I had my times when I doubted and when I wondered, what's going on, God? Why are these things happening? And it's at that time when I just sat back and began to review the things that I know. Not that I have heard about or read about, but things that I know. And the basic foundational truth that I knew was that God loved me. God loved me. I knew that about him. And how that sustained me through some dark and difficult times. He is saying to this new group, he's saying, you know, you can go on to maturity. And you can be just like the fathers and mothers in the church. The ones you look up to, the ones you aspire to be like, you can know the Father like they do, even more deeply than you do now. And to the young men, those who are not babies, but they're still young in the faith, John adds, you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you. He's saying you've already begun to put on the full spiritual armor of the Lord. And the word of the Lord, John says, lives in them. And there's two precious, precious meanings of that. They have gone, it means they have gone from hearing the word of God to the word of God living in them. There's a vast difference. There's a big, big difference. At salvation, the word of God becomes alive to us. It begins to make sense. We apply it to our lives. But more than that, the Word of God is a name for Jesus Christ himself, the living Word of God. And as we realize, as we go on in the faith, and as we face situations with our eyes upon Jesus, we realize who is on our side. We realize what he has done for us. We realize what he is doing for us, and we realize we can ask anything in his name, and it will be done. And as we do those things, we grow. We become strong in him. We overcome Satan through Christ. So here on this graduation Sunday, we have a picture of what the church should be, and a picture of Christian maturity, a picture of dear children new to the faith, excitedly learning about Christ. We have young men and women strong in the Lord, realizing through experience who Christ is and how faithful he is. And we have fathers and mothers in the faith, living representations of Christ for all to see. And church, all three of these chairs, all three of these stages of Christian maturity, these chairs should be filled to overflowing here at this church. The chair representing new or newer converts, it brings such joy to the church to see new life. But that's a signal to the rest of us. Oh, I need to come alongside them and help them and share in their joy and encourage them in their growth so they don't stay there forever, but that they move on. That's how the church is replenished and grows. And young men and women in the faith, Satan may be coming at you hard, but remember who's on your side, and remember who is within you. And remember that as John said, and as Jesus Christ says as well, you can do it. You can do it. And you are an inspiration to the rest of us as we see you growing and going on. And fathers and mothers in the faith, thank you. Thank you. Everyone needs to see your Christian faith. Everyone needs to see Christ in you. And we need to see in you what the rest of us can become. Each of these seats needs to be full in the church. But these two seats need to be constantly changing as people move on in the faith. And so to the grads here, your minds may be on future success and possibilities. Some of you, if you stay here in Fredericktown, or if you move away, You may come back someday to high school. I know just a couple of weeks ago, Terry Dyvelbus was honored as a distinguished alumni. Maybe some of you will be in that position someday, and that would be great. But my wish for you and for everyone here is something far, far better than a pocket full of money or a mansion or whatever it might be. It is a deep and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That will be real success. Acts 20:24 says this. How I love this verse. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. That is real purpose in life. That is what we are called to do, to finish the work assigned to us by the Lord Jesus, telling others the good news of the wonderful grace of God. Today, you might not know Christ at all. You might not have had a personal relationship with Him. In that case, today would be a wonderful day. The Bible says today is the best day to do that. For others of you, have you been stuck in one place too long? Maybe it's time for some of you here to graduate to the next thing that the Lord has for you. The altar is open today and the invitation is given. For some who may feel like they're stuck here, that have been here for a long, long time, longer than you should have been, it's time to move on. For those of you that are here, you're growing in the faith and you need a renewed trust and assurance from the Lord that He is with you in your trials. He will give that to you, and He will enable you to go on and to mature in the faith. And so today, the altar is open, and the invitation is given to say, Lord, I want to be one of the fathers. I don't care if you're 15 or 90. I want to be one of the fathers. I want to be one of the mothers in the faith. I want to be one that people can look at and see you. When they look at me, I want them to see you, Lord. And God will do that for you. The road may not be easy getting here, but He will get you here. And He will make you a mature, fully grown follower of His. So on this graduation Sunday, as our worship leaders come, is it time you graduated? Is it time you moved on in your faith? Is it time you went on to bigger and better things in the Lord? Is it time when you laid aside childish things and went on to the maturity that only Christ can give? Today the altar is open. Invitation given. Let us, as the choir sang, let's give thanks to God for all the graduates, for all the folks that He's given us. And let's give thanks to God. He says, you can move on. You can move on in the faith. Altar's open. Invitation given.